Under pressure. Aren't we all? Aren't we all? Amen. Well, many of you, you know my story. If you were here the first week, I shared a little bit about some of my challenges throughout my life with feelings of anxiety. I've had feelings of depression and things like that. And on one particular instance, I remember that I was struggling through ministry. I was struggling through just the circumstances that were going on, but also my feelings at the time, or lack thereof. And I was talking to my pastoral coach, and he was like, "Man, you need to rest. You need to slow down. You need to take care of yourself." And I remember thinking, like, "I can't, right? I've got to keep on pressing in. I've got to keep on going." And he was like, "Stephen, let me ask you, what would you do if you had the flu?" I was like, "Well, I would stay home." Well, that's not always true. Pre-COVID, I came to church many a time and preached with the flu. But nowadays, you know, I'd stay home, I'd get some rest. If it continued on for a while, I'd see a doctor. And he's like, "Yeah, and what would you do if you broke your leg?" And I was like, "Well, it would go to the doctor, they'd set it, they'd put me in a cast. You know, I'd have to walk around a little bit less probably, let it heal, all that." And so he said, "Well, if your congregation would understand you having to slow down if you had the flu or if you broke your leg or something like that, and you'd take care of yourself, why is it then when you're battling depression, you feel like you have to keep on smiling, you have to keep it to yourself, and you're not taking time to heal?" I was like, "That's a good point." Why is that? Why is it in our society, if it's physical, we go, "Oh my goodness, yeah, we got to get better," right? But as soon as it's something mental, as soon as it's something emotional, what does our society say? Just push through, right? Just keep going. Today we're talking about depression, dealing with depression. And I understand that many, many, many people are fighting with depression on various levels. Right? This isn't something new to most of us. If you are somebody that likes statistics at all, you would know that especially the millennial and Gen Z generations, and whatever they're calling the generation that comes after Gen Z, these people are massively struggling with mental health issues, and depression is at the top of it all. And let me tell you, today, whether you're somebody that is challenged by depression, or you're one of those people who is blessed not to have to deal with it in your own life, we need to remember these two things as we approach depression so that we approach it properly. The first is this: depression is a very complex issue. Okay? There is no one-size-fits-all approach. Somebody that got themselves through depression might turn to someone else and say, "Well, you just need to do this, that, and the other thing, and you'll be fine. That's what worked for me." And that person goes, "I've tried that so many times, and it didn't do squat." Some people, they're like, "Yeah, I struggle with depression. I just push through, and I'm totally fine." Whereas somebody else, when they have depression, they might have thoughts of harming themselves, and they might not be able to roll themselves out of bed. It is an extremely complex issue. So we can't say, "This is all you have to do. Just trust more," right? Just go to the doctor. Good things, but not necessarily going to bring relief. The other thing that you need to understand is you may be in this place thinking to yourself, "I've never struggled with depression. I feel bad for those people who just don't have the mental strength and fortitude that I do." Let me tell you, depression doesn't discriminate. Depression doesn't discriminate. And for a variety of reasons, at any point in any of our lives, it can strike. Maybe it's something acute, maybe it's something chronic. But no one can truly know that they're never going to be hit with a season of depression, or even a depression that lasts throughout the rest of our lives. And I think that there's way too many instances in the church's history and society, don't get me wrong, this is a societal, cultural issue as well, of this idea of the weak and the strong. But the fact is that anyone can struggle with depression. Anyone. Heavenly Father, today I ask that as we broach this topic, number one, Lord, I know that it can be a difficult one for many of us. There are many circumstances, feelings surrounding the topic of depression and mental health. And today, Lord, I ask that you would give us peace. Lord, as we navigate these things. God, I also ask today that those of us that are coming into this place with a prideful heart, a prideful attitude, that you would help us to lay that pride at your feet, that we would humble ourselves so that we might not fall. And Lord, for those of us that are struggling with depression in this room today, online today, Lord, I ask that you would help us to see hope, that you would help us to see your light. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I do want to acknowledge there are some best practices when we're dealing with depression that we need to pursue, right? There are things that we need to do. If you're struggling with depression, you need to go and see a doctor, right? That should be the first step, in fact. When you're dealing with depression, go and see a doctor. Maybe they'll talk to you about the things that are going on in your life. Maybe they'll prescribe something, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll say, hey, you need to go and talk to a counselor. Do that. If you can't afford a counselor, come chat with me. I'm not a licensed therapist or anything like that, but I listen well, I'm told. And we can help connect you with a discount counseling service, a Christian counseling service that might do some discounts for you or that kind of thing so that you can get the help that you need, right? Maybe you need that exercise or you need to change up the way that you're eating or something like that. There are best practices that we can follow when it comes to depression. But we also need to understand that it doesn't work the same for every person. What we also need to understand is while some are healed of depression, others struggle just to manage it. And there's nothing wrong with either one. Sometimes God is amazing and he decides that he's going to reach into our situation and he's going to bring healing and we praise him. And other times our hearts break because we're so confused. God, I'm praying about this thing. I'm believing into this thing and I'm still struggling or they're still struggling. We wonder what's going on. People in this field, psychologists, they have identified four main root causes of depression. All right, the first of those is biological. And so biological causes, they can be things like a chemical imbalance in the brain. And so that's the kind of thing where, an antidepressant can be very helpful because it helps to balance the chemicals in the brain. But even then, sometimes it doesn't work. It can be brought on by chronic pain. People that are consistently dealing with high levels of pain are at a much higher risk for depression. It could be bad nutrition. It can be hormones. That's why postpartum depression is such a thing. You know, and ladies, you might have a child and you're feeling down in the dumps. You're like, I should love this kid, but I'm so sad right now. What's wrong with me? It's called hormones. And again, go talk to the doctor, all right? All that stuff. Take the proper steps. Don't just push on through. It can be sleep deprivation. It can be a lack of exercise. It can be that we don't spend enough time in the sun. Those are all biological causes that have been identified for bringing on depression in various forms. The second one is relational. Maybe you experienced a betrayal and that just threw you in the dumps. Right? You think about people now and you're just like, people, I can't trust them. I can't handle them. I can't believe that somebody that I opened up to did that to me. It can be something that's brought on by a situation like a divorce. You know, the world seems like it's ending. You know what other relational things can cause depression? Worldwide pandemics. Right? All of a sudden, you don't get to hang out with family and friends. You miss you miss milestones. Right? Loved ones pass away and you can't go to visit them. Or the rest of your family. The third root cause is circumstantial. So this is experiencing a death or some sort of loss. It's experiencing a trauma in your life. This can actually, one of the things that psychologists have identified is actually retirement. Did you know that? Retirement can cause depression. Because see, many of us, especially for men, generally speaking, we place a lot of stock in what we do for our value and our purpose and who we are. That's the reason why when you meet someone new, you say, hi, I'm so-and-so, who are you? You get their name. You say, are you from the area? What's the next question? What do you do? What do you do? And it's not just because it's a safe thing to ask. It's because we recognize that there is an intrinsic feeling of value and worth and identity in what we do. And so you plan and you scrimp and you save and you retire and you're like, I'm going to play golf and I'm going to do all this stuff. And now you're like, I have no purpose. And you get depressed. It can happen in an empty nest situation. You know, you've poured your life into these ungrateful children for 18 years, 20 years, these days 30 years, and now they're gone. And you just hear the clock tick, tick, tick away, and you start to notice that your spouse has these really annoying habits that you didn't see before because you were too busy with your kids. And you're like, I'm stuck with this person forever. And then your choice is, do you do something about your depression or do you just get depressed and then pull out the rat poison? That was a joke, people. Come on. All right. So we got biological, we got relational, we've got circumstantial, and the fourth one is spiritual. There's a spiritual battle going on. Scripture tells us that every single moment of every day, there is a spiritual battle going on for your soul, for your attention. And sometimes when we feel the effects of that spiritual battle, that spiritual attack over and over and over again, it wears us down and we begin to experience depression. The prophet Jeremiah, this guy was an amazing man of God. I mean, God spoke directly to him, was speaking to powerful people in his nation through him. But Jeremiah was also someone that watched as his entire nation was invaded, as people were slaughtered, as the magnificent temple of Solomon was leveled. He watched as people were marched out of his nation into captivity, and watched as his nation turned away from God. But he was dedicated to serving and worshiping his Lord. But let me tell you, though he had such an intimate connection with God, he also experienced crippling depression. And you might think to yourself, Pastor Stephen, I don't think it was crippling. Like, he did some amazing stuff. No, like crippling depression. In fact, we have an entire book where he talks about his depression, or I should say, where he laments his depression. It's called the Book of Lamentations. the book of laments, the book of, ugh. So I'm going to read a little bit to you from that book, Lamentations 3. We see Jeremiah says, I am the one who has seen the afflictions that come from the rod of the Lord's anger. He has led me into darkness, shutting out all light. But surely this guy's not depressed, right? He has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and flesh grow old. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and surrounded me with anguish and distress. He has buried me in a dark place like those long dead. He has walled me in and I cannot escape. He has bound me in heavy chains. And though I cry and shout, he has shut out my prayers. Peace has been stripped away. Jumping down to verse 17. Peace has been stripped away and I have forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Wow. Listen, if you're here today because you're like, I just love coming to Abundant Springs because everything is so uplifting and positive and it just excites me for life. Sorry. It's kind of hard to preach on depression and be like, rah, rah, things are great. And the fact is that we serve a God who understands that we experience human emotion. Who understands that because of sin coming into the world, his plan, his design for the world was broken. And in that brokenness, we will experience these seasons of darkness and doubt and insecurity and where everything is just wrong. And for some of us, we're going to deal with long stretches, maybe even lifelong stretches of crippling depression. But the first thing I want to bring across is understand, he can still use you. Right? You're not without purpose just because you experienced depression. Jeremiah did a lot. But man, let me tell you, if Jeremiah could be used by God in the way that he was, and yet struggled with these things in the way that he did, don't you think that maybe we need to give people struggling with depression a break? Maybe not lay the blame on their feet? So as we sort through feelings, and as we try to push through depression, there's two things that I think that we need to cling to, two important things that we need to understand. The first is this: your emotions are valid, but they don't need to rule your decision making. Okay? So if you're depressed, okay, you're depressed, things aren't going right. The temptation can be, well, I'm depressed, so maybe this job is the reason I'm depressed. And so we make a decision to leave our job because we're just mentally, we're not well. Or you're depressed and you think to yourself, you know what? I want to do my best for this career here. Maybe I want to go into law enforcement or something like that. I want to help people. But because you're depressed, you're like, you know what? I'm going to drink this all away. And then you decide to get behind the wheel of a car. And you take someone's life. And now you can't be a police officer. You throw it all away because you make a big emotional decision, even though it may seem small at the time, you're just trying to self-medicate, you make this decision, and some of us, you might be dealing, maybe you're online, maybe you're here today, and for those who are sensitive to this topic, I apologize, but perhaps you deal with issues or you struggle with the idea of self-harm. And maybe you think to yourself regularly, you know, it wouldn't take much to end it all. Again, your emotions in this moment are valid. They exist. They are real. But don't allow it to rule your decision making. Understand that there are people in this world who care deeply about you. Understand that that is a permanent decision with a great cost. And so your emotions are valid, but they don't need to rule your decision making. When you're at your lowest is not the time to make decisions. Unless that decision is to go visit a doctor or a Christian therapist. The second thing that you need to cling to is though your situation feels hopeless, there is always hope in Jesus. And what I'm talking about here is not a fix-all. What I'm saying is in the darkest moments, we have received promises from Christ for the future in this life and the next. And when we cling to those things in the darkest moment where it seems like there's no hope, there's light. You might feel out of grasp, just past what we can extend our hands to, but there can be hope. I have a dear friend. His name is Andrew Craig. He was the pastor here in town at Trinity Lutheran Church for a very long time, and he gave me permission to share this video of him just explaining kind of the place that he's at in his life, where he's been in his life, and talking a little bit about how he's making it through. And so I'm just going to let him speak for the next 10 minutes or so. Go ahead, guys.
There. Had something I wanted to share that I've been thinking about. And in some ways, I'm putting this out there because putting it out there for me means something important. Something I've been wrestling with for a while, mostly because I think from an outside perspective, it feels like people are concerned about me when I talk about what I'm going to speak about here. When there isn't a need for it. It's simply just a way that I've started thinking, a way that I've started, I guess, believing. But that is this, and I can sum it up in a statement. And that is, sometimes I find it easier to be okay with death, more okay with death than I am with life. Again, not concerned about hurting myself. I have a family I love. I'm not worried about hurting myself. I think part of the problem I have with that statement is often it seems to cue people to want to try and fix the problem or try and help people people want to help me with encouragement, I guess, when from my perspective, it's based on real life. It's based on my daily life and the things that I have dealt with. And so I want to talk through this. And so again, what I'm talking about is that sometimes it's more comfortable to think about death than it is to think about life. And what I mean by life is like the future and what is ahead down the road. And even in a lot of respects, looking back on my life, what started me thinking about it though is basically when I had to step away from work. I was a Lutheran pastor for 15 years, and when I stepped away from my work, you know, like many of us, I put a lot of thought into my career, and a career gives us a lot of our sense of self and self-esteem and stuff. And so when I stepped away, there was a lot on my plate. It also just happened right before COVID, so there wasn't really a lot of time to really ponder it and think it through. Since then, I've gotten just regularly very frustrated. I have trochomy tooth type 1A. I talked about that in a previous video. You can find it on our channel. I have CMT type 1A. I'm an amputee below the left knee. I lost my foot in 2013 as complications because of that. In my life, I have dealt with emotional, spiritual, and physical abuse that have been sometimes very hard to handle and deal with. I have mild PTSD from some of the things that occurred in my time in ministry. And when I say that, I mean those things. I've gone through tons of counseling and worked on those things. But my point is that when I look back, there is a lot of positive memories. There's a lot of good things, but it's hard not to feel like all my sort of adventures, all the things that I did that I was, you know, the stories that you tell with your friends, the reminiscences that you have. It feels like those, for the most part, are in my past now. I don't really have an idea towards there being a lot of adventure in my future. I wish there was, but I can't walk farther than really half a block. I can go in the grocery store if I need to, but it wipes me out pretty good after. You know, I sleep lots, not really, again, because I want to. So I don't think it's really, from my perspective, that surprising that I'm actually at points much more okay with the idea of life ending than I am with life going on. And it is a different thought process than anything suicidal for me. It's more existential. How do I exist? How do I move forward? And the reason I'm kind of putting this out there is, one, because I think it's important to me to put it out so that other people can hear my words and reflect on them. But also, I'd love to hear from you too. But as well, I don't think I'm the only person with a disability that struggles with this. And so when I look at my life and look forward, it's hard to feel like I have a sense of purpose, a sense of what I want to do down the line. I mean, I like posting on YouTube. I like the stuff that Mike and I do with The Outer Twilight. And if you followed us, or if you're finding this sort of at random, our YouTube channel, The Outer Twilight, it's kind of been going for about a year now, and we're having a hard time getting some traction and things like that. And I love doing it. There's always a part of me, though, that wonders how long I can, because my fine motor skills and stuff are deteriorating. I love to do the video editing and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, and then in terms of going out into the world, I haven't become agoraphobic, but I am sort of people phobic. I don't know what the word for that is, but maybe androphobic. Going out into the world and seeing people that I know who maybe it's a bit difficult to talk with them and stuff like that, I have kind of gained a low tolerance for difficult conversation, I guess, and a low tolerance for things like small talk or putting up with people. And that's me. That's nothing, you know, and it's not like I'm cranky with them. I really do strive to be a positive person out when I'm out and about. It's just that when I come home, I feel exhausted. And so for me, looking into the future, when I think about death or dying, I have faith. I believe there's more beyond this life. And frankly, sometimes when things are a bit bad, it's hard not to feel like I got ripped off on this side of life. And if you don't believe in an afterlife, that's fine. I'm not, you know, judging you for who you are. But for me, I feel like it's been a lifeline for me in the sense that I don't ever want to live in a world where I don't have a hope for a future. And if I don't have a belief in the life beyond this one, then that hope is really damaged for me. I feel like I got kind of ripped off. I feel like I lived the good parts of my life, but didn't know they were the good parts of my life at the time, because I was too young, too immature, too stupid to realize that this is the best time of my life. And I think a lot of people in their 40s, disabled or not, sort of struggle with these things. But realistically, I can't walk very far. I need to find some sources for more mobility. But the idea that after this life, there's better life, is something that is really exciting to me, something that I'm stoked about. I'm not in a hurry to get there. I want to see the milestones of, you know, big anniversaries for my wife and I, our kids graduating from school, our kids possibly, you know, getting married and having kids of their own and being a grandparent and stuff. I mean, it's not that there's nothing to look forward to. It's just that as a person living with a disability that is quite crippling, going day after day and week after week, feeling this way is really tough. And the really hard part is that I mentioned at the beginning that people have a hard time knowing how to handle it when I discuss these things with them. I have one friend who's, you know, was really well. He's a person of faith too. And so he, you know, reflected that, you know, life beyond is a thing to look forward to, and that's something to be excited for. But oftentimes, if I reflect these things to family or friends, what I receive in return is sort of, you must be feeling down, you should be encouraged, you got lots of gifts, you got lots of talents, you know, or trying to fix, well, have you tried this? I mean, you know, with daily diet and exercise and all this kind of stuff. And honestly, the burden of, it's not that I don't want to do anything. The reality is that the burden and weight of feeling damaged, basically my every day of my entire life, has just put me in a position where I don't I don't mentally really have the capacity to fix these things. And in a lot of ways, with CMT being degenerative, there comes a point where it's just not fixable anymore. And that's just the reality. And I know that there are other people with disabilities that face these comments as well. And that's what makes it hard, is that people are kind of like, well, there's got to be a solution. And because for most people, there is a solution. But there isn't a solution for a lot of us. And we have to live with that on a daily basis. And I really do try to keep my attitude positive. And when people try to fix and encourage, I understand that. I think what I find myself pondering and dealing with is a feeling of loneliness a lot of times, where I know I'm not in it by myself, but I don't really know directly a lot of people who have these kinds of challenges personally. And of course, the crazy thing is, I don't know that I really want to know more people. And I'm not saying I have answers. What I am saying is that I don't believe it's abnormal or weird to think the way that I'm thinking. To feel like death is a good thing in certain cases, not accelerating it, not making it happen, but that it's okay to be something that I'm looking forward to, because sometimes when I look at life and life going on, it's not something I'm looking forward to. And we all have to have things we're looking forward to. So, and I'm at peace with that. I don't struggle with it. It doesn't make me mad. I don't get angry at those feelings. To me, they're really normal. And I'm glad that you are willing to listen to me if you're still here. And I want you to know that if you're feeling this way, if you struggle with these kinds of emotions, you aren't alone either. And it's important, I guess, though, too, that, you know, I have talked to somebody about these things. I have gone to counseling. I have processed these things through. I've read tons of books on how to process some of the bad things that have happened in my life, and to, you know, renew myself in mind and body that way. I still believe very strongly in growing my mind. And, you know, if you're watching this, if you're, you know, someone who feels frustrated because you used to be able to do physical things, remember you have a mind that can do so many wonderful things, and you can learn and grow and experience new things in your mind, not just with your body.
Oh. Imagine going through all of that and not having the hope of Jesus. Praise God that my friend does, and it gets him through, right? Whoop. Sorry, guys. There we go. And for Jeremiah as well, what we see is that in the midst of his lamenting, he also has hope. A little bit further on in that same chapter we were reading, where he was pouring out his heart, where he was in many ways going, God, you're the cause of all this stuff. He says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. Therefore, I will hope in him. And that's the big thing. Your emotions are valid. If you're dealing with depression, whether it's something in the short term or something in the long term, you need to understand that no one is saying, no, you shouldn't feel that way. Or they shouldn't be anyways. You can feel the way that you feel because it's true. It's real. But don't make big decisions ruled by how you feel. And though it may feel at times like there is no hope, we've been promised a fantastic future in eternity. And that's the hope that we cling to. That's the hope that can say to us, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other today. I'm going to roll out of bed this morning, and I'm going to keep on going. New Testament. For those of you who are like, Pastor Stephen, that's Old Testament. Your whole message means nothing, yada, yada, yada. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for us all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. So today I have two action steps, depending on where you're at in life. The first is for those that maybe you don't deal with depression. Maybe sometimes you're a little bit less than empathetic. Let me encourage you, don't be the person that tries to fix it all. Maybe, depending on the situation, don't even be the person that goes, no, it's okay. You're going to get through this. Sometimes we just need to be present for those walking through depression. We need to cast aside the idea of laying shame and giving advice. And sometimes that person just needs a listening ear that can listen with acceptance. You know, in the book of Job, Job's friends come to him in his hour of suffering, and everything's going pretty good until they open their mouths, right? And sometimes we're like that too. We just need to be present. We just need to be caring. And it's when we open our mouths that those that we are helping go, no, you just don't get it. For those that are struggling in this time, various times in their lives, remember who Jesus is and what he has promised. There is wonderful joy ahead in our inheritance with Christ. There's wonderful joy ahead. And that's the message of the gospel as well, is that despite how bad things are, God didn't abandon us, but that he stepped into our situation. He walked alongside us. He died for us. And because of his death and his resurrection, paying the price for our sins, everything that separates us from God, there is a process of healing that can begin to take place for every person that lays their life at his feet, but also a great promised hope in the future. So that we can know no matter what this life holds, there is something greater in the next. I'm going to pray for you all today. Heavenly Father, today as we walk through what could be described as a depressing topic, Lord, I notice there's not a whole lot of smiles. There's not a lot of joy radiating in this place. It's been an emotional morning. But God, I ask that you would meet each of us in this place, in the place that we are at, and that in this sobering time of dealing with the realities of our society, the reality that some of us are living every day and that others of us perhaps are living through somebody who deals with these things, God, I ask that you would help us to be people of grace and hope, that you would help us to be people that others can turn to and know that they will just be loved and accepted. God, help us to turn our sights to you wherever we're at in life. Maybe right now, let me just encourage you all, if you're a follower of Jesus in this place, just to ask him to just give you a word of wisdom, a word of encouragement, or perhaps to challenge you in a place where perhaps you need to ask for forgiveness from the Lord because you were a person laying shame and blame on someone rather than showing love and mercy. But as you do that in this place, and as Pastor Ewan prepares to come and share just a couple of announcements with us today, I want to speak to anyone who's here or online who you need that hope. You need the hope that our God loves you and accepts you just as you are. You need the hope that he desires to lift up your spirit and that he has a great inheritance set aside for all who entrust themselves to him. Jesus loves you. If I could sum it all up, that's what you need to hear today. Jesus loves you. And so today I'm going to invite us all to pray a prayer together. And if you pray this prayer from your heart, desiring to follow Christ, then know that you are giving your life to him today. And I want to welcome you to the family of God. So let's pray this prayer together as one today. Heavenly Father, I need your hope. I need your light. And I thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for giving your son. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, today I give you my life. Please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Transform me by your love. I give everything I am today into your hands for the rest of my days. And I thank you that when I mess up, you don't leave me, but you walk with it through it with me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart today for the first time, giving your life to Jesus, I want to welcome you to the family of God. We would love to connect with you and get some resources into your hands. So you'll see on that same connect card I referred to earlier, there's also a checkbox that says, I just gave my life to Jesus. If you fill that out and hand it to Al after service here, he's going to be sure to get a Bible and a devotional into your hands. Online, if you go to ascc.life and tap on, I just gave my life to Jesus, fill out that form and we'll connect with you as soon as we can and find a way to get some resources into your hands as well. Pastor Ewan's going to come and share a couple of announcements before we dismiss. And so you all know, I'm going to be available right here for about 5 or 10 minutes after service to pray for anyone that needs prayer today.